want the public's comment. We want to look at it and make sure we've considered all the options.
The Alaska Marine Highway releases draft patterns for next year's sailings and reviving agriculture in the Upper Lynn Canal. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories just ahead. The Marine Highway System plans to sail one of its ferries all the way from South Central Alaska to the Lower 48 and back. The Kennecott will carry passengers and vehicles from Whittier, the closest ferry port to Anchorage, to Bellingham, Washington, starting in mid-May. The twice-monthly round trips will also stop in Juneau and Ketchikan. Travelers can make the same journey now, but must take the Kennecott across the Gulf of Alaska, then change to the Columbia, which is often fully booked. Ferry Chief Jim Beadle says that's unpopular.
Across Gulf passengers have been talking for quite a while. They don't want to make the connection here in Juneau and get on the Columbia. And this year, you really almost couldn't get on the Columbia. So we've been talking with the ship, and the Kennecott masters say is what their customer want is a direct shot from Whittier to Juneau to Ketchikan to Bellingham.
The six-day sailing is part of the plan for next summer's ferry schedule, which covers mid-May through mid-September. It would also include a connection to Kodiak. The Ferry Columbia would continue its weekly Bellingham to Skagway round-trip service with stops along the way. But diverting the Kennecott to Washington State Port would eliminate one of its 3-monthly Kodiak Homer round trips. Beadle says Bellingham sailings are expected to cost about $500,000 and bring in up to $2.5 million in revenue.
We've looked at it from all kinds of angles, and we don't really see a downside. We think our customers are right that by connecting the population centers in Alaska, that, you know, the Anchorage Rail Belt Fairbanks through Whittier with a direct shot to Bellingham, that we can get a lot of passengers on that boat.
The schedule will continue this summer's twice-monthly trips from Kodiak to the Aleutians. Service was once monthly until lawmakers increased funding this year. The draft ferry plan for next summer also includes service to Gustavus, a new marine highway port south of Haines. Beadle says the small ferry, Leconte, will sail 4 times a month from the capital city.
We will be going to Gustavus twice a week, every other week. We'll be going out on Mondays and Wednesdays. We'll be adding Gustavus to the Alaska Marine Highway schedule.
Most of the rest of the routes will remain as they have been for about 3 years. Passenger numbers have increased this year, and officials say a predictable schedule helps. The draft ferry plan is available through the Marine Highway System's website, ferryalaska.com. Officials will take suggestions during a teleconference on Thursday, August 19th. Details are on the website.
We want the public's comment. We want to look at it and make sure we've considered all the options. You know, if there's something out there that comes up with this Kennecott run that finds out it really complicates things, and we'll go back to just duplicating what we did this summer.
Written comments are also being accepted. The schedule will be finalized and ready for reservations by October. An interest in reviving agriculture in the Northern Lynn Canal may help bring back a long-gone youth program. Darren Snyder is with the Cooperative Extension Services with the University of Alaska Fairbanks. His organization oversees 4-H programs in Alaska.
I help clubs get started, and part of that is just meeting adults and youth who are interested in getting together and doing fun things.
4-H is not only about kids, farming, and raising livestock, but those are the areas that most Haines residents seem to be interested in, says Snyder. He's been talking to residents here to gauge their interest in reviving the youth program that went the way of the buffalo about the same time large-scale local farming did.
There was a thriving 4-H program in Haines decades ago, and I don't know exactly when it started. There are some old-timers, specifically Bob Henderson, who has a keen history of it. But it is decades old, and the McPherson Barn was built here by 4-H, and it's a great space for the animal-related programs. You know, there's been horse programs and folks raising animals. And it's been a great thing for the community in years past.
Snyder isn't exactly sure why the program fizzled out in recent years, but that's not as important as why he was in Haines earlier this month. Snyder's trying to figure out if the Northernland Canal wants 4-H back.
You know, for Haines and Skagway and other places in Southeast, if you want to get a group of kids doing some interesting and fun activities, we have different curriculum, which is helpful for people who, like, you know, they don't feel like an expert in a certain topic, and but kids are, you know, want to do different projects of, say, building model rockets. You know, it's like, well, how would I do that? Well, I can help.
This effort, at a time when some residents and borough officials are talking about reviving local food production and the bigger issue of food security. At the July 27th assembly meeting, Haines resident Nancy Berlin encouraged the borough to adopt municipal policies that are favorable to local food production.
Number one is an economic engine that everyone needs to eat, and as it is right now in Alaska, we are importing 95% of our food products. It didn't used to be that way. I learned that in the 50s we were able to produce 55%. So there's definitely room for more local production of foods, and it would create new businesses and new jobs, and so I think that's very positive in that regard.
4-H wouldn't nearly be the answer to local food security problems, but it does fit in. When 4-H was active in the Chilkat Valley, for example, it was at a time when farming was more important to the local economy. Blythe Carter is from the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center.
When you look at old photos of Haines, you'll see the farms. It used to be a huge farming community. Farms in town here, dairy farms where the bank is, and all up along Comstock Road, there was dairy farms up there. I mean, there used to be farming everywhere around here. They used to have strawberry fields and, you know, raspberries. And it's kind of a sad, you know, that we don't have anything anymore, but I guess they just couldn't compete with shipping up everything that they do now.
Actually, 4-H was initially started as a way to improve local farming, Snyder says. It was a way to pass on university-level research to farming communities in the Midwest more than 100 years ago.
There were innovations in agricultural production that farmers who are traditionally kind of conservative because their livelihood is dependent upon their successful growing of crops, so they would tend to stick with what works. And so the universities were coming up with kind of new and innovative techniques and varieties, and the farmers were a little reticent to try them out. So the agents kind of figured out, hey, you know, if I work with the kids and teach the kids how to grow these crops and try these different ways, then maybe they can show them off. And thus started the whole fair system, where these county fairs, where kids would kind of show off their steers or vegetables. But their parents were starting to take notice. Wow, you can grow a giant ear of corn. I'd like to do that.
The entire 4-H program involves more than 6 million people internationally and in a lot more areas than just agriculture and livestock. 4-H is also for skateboarders, skiers, and frisbee throwers, too.
It fits in anywhere in a community that kids have a specific interest in learning about things or doing things. We can make it just about anything. I mean, there are, right off the top of my head, there are some skateboarding clubs. In Juneau, there is cross-country skiing, outdoor skills, and outdoor skills being anything from fishing to firearm safety and hunting skills. It's pretty much whatever a kid is interested in doing that we can find parents or other adults who want to do that with a group of kids.
The Southeast Alaska State Fair has also been an unlikely listener for locals who want to revive agricultural education. Public comment is the reason behind bringing animals back on display in the barn at the last fair.
Mostly the folks that I was interfacing with in the barn were definitely interested in the animals there. That's the topic of the barn. And there are probably 7 or 8 parents and with many kids who are interested in getting things started back up again here in Haines. But also kids get really excited when, you know, they're learning about what they can eat and what they can't eat out in the forest, how to preserve these foods so that they can eat them later, how to catch fish. That's fun stuff. And we did a camp down in Juneau last summer on sustainable harvest is what we themed it. And so we were harvesting cultivated crops like the rhubarb and the Tlingit potato, and then also fishing for coho and teaching the kids about the biology of the fish.
Snyder's continuing to measure interest for 4-H programming in Southeast Alaska. Juneau already has about 7 different clubs. To operate a program, a Southeast town would need a handful of adults who want to lead a community club in their town.
We offer insurance. We have background checks for the adults. We have leadership training for the adults and then the youth leaders, because we do emphasize trying to have older youth be leaders within our programs and as mentors for the younger kids. It's a national program, in fact, international, and there's a lot of opportunity for the kids to interface with other kids in the state, to travel to other like conventions and stuff, and it's a great national program for that.
Darren Snyder is with Cooperative Extension Services and oversees 4-H programs in Southeast Alaska. He can be reached at 796-6221. Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell.